It's been a challenging 8-9 months, to say the absolute least. We're living in this new normal, trying to navigate through this second wave much of the country is now seeing. And as you've said, there's a tsunami at our shores just waiting to come crashing down. Dr. Fitzgerald, what is the most challenging aspect of leading the province through this tough time?
I think right now the most challenging thing is that people are tired, and people want things to be normal, and people want things to go back to normal. And it's going to be a little while yet before we get there. And so I think for everybody, the challenge is just trying to hang on and do what we need to do, and make sure that we're reducing our contacts as much as possible, sticking with those public health measures that have been tried and true of physical distancing and wearing your masks in public and all of that. And at this time of year right now, of course, where there tends to be more gatherings, more crowds, more people going out shopping, it's even more important for us to be adhering to those measures. But yeah, so I think it's just the length of time that this has been going on and the fact that people are tired.
And what have been some of the more rewarding aspects of all of this?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot that's been rewarding. I think, how well the Eastern Health and was able to deal with that initial cluster that we had. I think how well people have taken that message that we've put out there and have, really taken that to heart, especially through that first part of the pandemic, see our cases go down, see our cases stay low. All of that has been quite rewarding for us as public health officials when we know that our message is getting out there. I think just the cooperation and the patience and trust that the public has put in us as public health officials is really quite rewarding.
How disappointing were some of the comments, rumors, and nastiness that we see every single day online and that continues to circulate on social media?
I know. It's difficult. And I mean, we know that social media is like this, right? It allows us to be anonymous and to not be accountable for what we say, how we say it, and to whom we say it. It's disheartening. I think, as a province, generally speaking, I think we support each other very well. And there are a few bad apples who, to coin a phrase, but who are really making it bad. It's not the majority of people that are out there, I don't think. As always, we say you need to be kind. You don't know somebody else's story. You can't put yourself in somebody else's shoes necessarily. And, if you continue to look at the world from your own perspective and not try to take into account anyone else's, you'll have a very narrowed view of the world.
And Dr. Fitzgerald, on that note, you've urged kindness throughout all of this. Why has that been so important to you?
Because I think it's the only way forward, really. I mean, kindness is, we cannot get through this together without being kind to one another. The whole point of this, if you think about yourself or me, we're younger, we don't have health issues, or most of us don't. COVID is probably not going to be a terrible disease for us, but it will be a terrible disease for some other people.
Right.
And I think that we are doing all of this the fact that people are abiding by the public health measures and doing what needs to be done is a huge show of kindness and love for the whole world. And I think that's really important for people to remember. If we're kind to people, then people respond in kind to you. If you're not kind, then people aren't kind back. And we want people to be able to come forward. We want people to be able to avail of testing. I don't want somebody to think that I may have done something wrong to get this virus, and now if I come forward, something bad's going to happen to me. That's not what we want out there. I want people to feel safe and secure in coming forward, in getting tested. If you're a positive case, by the time you're a positive case, we don't care. I mean, we care where it came from, obviously. We're going to be looking for that, but we don't. That's irrelevant to us in the sense of, are you responsible? Who is responsible? We're not about casting blame. We're about trying to find every case we can and to get that locked down as quickly as possible. So we want people to come forward, and people will only feel safe to do that if we're kind to each other.
When the pandemic began, going way back to March, you were in this role, in an acting role, as the Chief Medical Officer of Health. Now you're really the face of it here in the province. You're one of the most recognizable faces in the province. Mm. How difficult is it for you personally to be in the public eye like this day in, day out?
It's been a big adjustment for me. I'm not somebody who's used to that. So I kind of like anonymity a little bit, and so it has been a bit of an adjustment. But on the whole, as I've said before, people have been largely very kind and very supportive and positive when they've met me in public and things. But it's difficult sometimes when people when you are out there in the public and people question certain things that you say or do or whatever the case, but you feel like you have a little bit of extra scrutiny. But I guess on the whole, it's not been a terrible thing. It's not been awful, but I do like being anonymous. I do long for the day when I can walk down the street and nobody knows me. But
now, what are you most proud of as we continue to fight our way through this pandemic?
There are so many things to be proud of through all of this. I think, on the whole, I'm really proud of our response in Newfoundland. I'm proud of the way that people have stepped up and people have taken it seriously. I think that's really good. I'm really proud of our public health teams. They have been phenomenal through all of this. Like, they have looked for every last contact. They have really searched. They have gone above and beyond. And that's all the teams in the RHAs. There's been no RHA unaffected. And we've all had these situations that have been challenging. We have been very fortunate up to this point not to have some of the situation that they've had elsewhere in the country. But, we have had some challenging situations in every RHA, and they have all stepped up. And for me personally, at the team that I have working with me at the Department of Health and Community Services are just phenomenal. They are ready to do anything at any time, whether it's day, night, on the weekends. There are some people who have worked every weekend since, in some form, since March, really. And so we're just very fortunate that the province is very fortunate to have such a great public health team, and then our other healthcare, our acute care teams, who have responded so quickly when we needed to make capacity because we didn't know what was going to happen in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's really been quite phenomenal. And, but really, it's been everybody pulling together. All our essential workers, our teachers now, keeping our schools safe. It's just been, on the whole, just such a community effort. I think it really proves to us what we can do, and we really all just work together towards a common goal.
And now on the other end of that, what do you most worry about when it comes to COVID-19, the pandemic? What kind of keeps you up at night?
Right now it's just the situation that's happening anywhere else, and knowing that, at any time it could happen to us. Everybody thought 2 weeks ago that the Atlantic bubble was a safe place to be, and now, we've seen community spread in one of our provinces. It's not that anyone did anything wrong. It just kind of, it happens. And it was inevitable with the number of cases that we're seeing elsewhere in the country and the fact that people are allowed to travel. We can't completely restrict travel into the province, and so that is an inevitability that we're going to have cases come in here, and so I think the challenge has been to have people understand that we are now at a tipping point, and that we really do need to take this seriously and take these public health measures seriously. Even though we don't have a whole lot of cases here in the province, we still need to take it seriously, because it doesn't take much for us to spark a super spreader event or an outbreak or anything like that. So
how optimistic are you about the future of vaccines, testing, and treatments?
So certainly with regard to the vaccine, there's been a lot of really good news on the horizon, and we are hopeful that there will be a vaccine early in the new year that will be distributed. you know, the caution with all of that, and I need people to understand, is that that vaccine is not going to come in here like the flu vaccine does. We can't order 425,000 doses of that vaccine, right? We're going to get small doses in the beginning. We're going to have to have priorities for what groups would be the first groups to get that vaccine. And people need to understand that we will have vaccine for everyone, but it is going to take some time, and it's going to take several months for us to be able to vaccinate everybody in the province. So that's all stuff that we're working on right now. That's our priority at the moment in public health, is developing those strategies for how we get that vaccine rolled out effectively. But it is going to be a slow process. So so very hopeful. And we have two now that are, on the horizon, very close. And then hopefully there'll be some more after that.
Does it sometimes feel like this virus is never going to leave us?
This virus is never going to leave us. Like, that's it. It's here. The best we can do is like flu, right? The best we can do is try to immunize against it, try to reduce our risk as much as possible. If we have enough people vaccinated, if that vaccine gives us immunity that's long-lasting, then hopefully we won't see as much of it. But just like measles, which we vaccinate against, the world sees measles every now and then. You know, there's very few. We have been very successful with some diseases in eradicating, but there are some that we still see cases of all the time. So, you know, COVID is still going to be with us, and it's very unlikely we'll be able to get rid of it completely, and we'll probably have outbreaks of it in the future going forward, but hopefully it won't be to the same degree that we're seeing right now with the pandemic, because you have a whole population that had no immunity, right? That's going to be different if we have vaccines and things like that. So,
Dr. Fitzgerald, when it comes to rotational workers, that's been a very contentious issue here in the province since the onset of this pandemic. We hear so many of the concerns from rotational workers, their families, the abuse online. And we know there is some kind of update coming around point of entry testing within the next few days or the next week, hopefully. But how difficult has that aspect of this pandemic been in trying to deal with rotational workers, understanding their concerns, but also trying to keep the public safe here in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Yeah, public health, it's all about balance, really. It's all about balancing, the overall health of the population with the effects that some of your measures may have on individual people. And, for rotational workers, I think, we have to realize that these people are doing what most of us are doing, which is trying to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads. And sometimes you have to go away to be able to do that. They have certainly, I think for the most part, I think rotational workers have been coming back and they've been following the rules. I think if they weren't, we'd probably be in a different place. But they have been following the rules, and they have been, they've sacrificed a lot to keep our province safe, and we need to remember that. Vilifying them online it doesn't help anyone. It certainly doesn't help us as a province when it comes to trying to reduce our risk for COVID-19, because as I said before, if people feel that they're going to be treated unfairly by coming forward, then that may make some people not want to do that. And we certainly don't want that to happen. I can only imagine how much more difficult it is that this pandemic has made it. At the same time, we do know that importation is our biggest risk. We do know that a lot of the places that these people are working, a lot of the provinces that these people are working in right now, are seeing rising numbers of cases. We do have to try to balance that risk. I hope that we've come down at a happy medium where we are right now. And with regard to point of entry testing, it's not going to give us the information that we really need to be able to safely have people just get a point of entry test and then not have to isolate. That's not really a place where we want to be right now.
And Dr. Fitzgerald, your wishes to the residents of this province, as we are now just 4 weeks away from Christmas.
I wish. So I think, I hope and wish that people will try to remember as much as possible these public health measures that we've put in place or that we've asked people to follow, to, you know, reduce your contacts as much as possible. Avoid any of these gatherings that are outside of those close, consistent 20 people, we say, for the Christmas season. And I know we talked about it in terms of the Christmas season, but I think with what we're seeing right now, what's happening in Halifax, and I think we need to really think about that close, consistent 20 even now, and that, you know, you keep those numbers down as low as you can. If you're going to work, you know, you're getting contacts at work. If you're and if you're going to school, you're going to have contacts at school. And so then, if you also then have those a huge range of social contacts, if you're going out, you know, to dinner one day with this group, and then to a bar the next day with this group, in addition to having two different groups of people, you've also got all the other people in those facilities that you've that you've been in contact with. And you know, we're seeing in some areas of the country people having 50, 60 contacts, and you know, that's a lot. It's bad for if you have COVID, or if you've been in one of those situations and COVID is there, it means COVID can spread quite easily through that situation. But also, it makes it much more difficult for public health to be able to do their job, because if they've got to follow up with every one of those contacts, get every one of those contacts tested, and then if you have a significant number get positive, then they have to do all of that for every one of those. You know, that certainly uses up a lot of capacity in public health. And so we've got our layers of protection we talk about. You know, we've got our travel restrictions, then we've got quarantine, then we've got masking and distancing, and well, distancing first and then masking, and, you know, washing your hands and doing all those personal measures that you have to do, staying home if you're sick and all that. But then at the end of that, if we've got a case, then it's that rapid contact tracing and testing that is sort of that's our fail safe, right? If that then gets overwhelmed, then we're in a situation where it's difficult to control. So it's really, really important for people. And we've seen this. I've talked to people across the country, and it's the number of contacts that people have that's really been challenging. So we really need to work on reducing that.
Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Janice Fitzgerald, thank you for joining us for this exclusive interview on VOCM.
Thank you.
And that was VOCM's Ben Murphy speaking one-on-one in our feature this morning with Dr. Janice Fitzgerald. Of course, she is the Chief Medical Officer of Health. She's looking forward to the days when she can walk down the road again and no one will know her. You can listen and watch the full interview with Ben and Dr. Fitzgerald online at VOCM.com.